Every year, the respected Public Religion Research Institute takes a comprehensive look at our fellow Americans and their outlook on key issues we all face. In a profoundly unusual year, PRRI has just released its 2020 American Values Survey with so profoundly unusual results. And I'm very happy to welcome my good friend, Institute President Dr. Robert P. Jones, back to State of Belief Radio. Robbie, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks, Weldon. Glad to be back.
What stopped me in my tracks was the majority of Republicans and also white evangelicals who say the country is headed in the right direction. Couple that with the number who say we are better off in the 50s, and I truly don't recognize the America I thought I knew and understood.
Well, you know, we titled this report Dueling Realities, you know, for a reason, because I do think that we are seeing both along partisan lines between Republicans and Democrats and in the religious landscape, increasingly white evangelical Protestants who are sort of in a world of their own, even compared to their fellow white Protestants and white Catholics. There is starting to be some daylight there between those groups. Just one point on this, on the issue priorities of the country, you know, the only thing that the two parties agree on, or members of the two parties agree, are critical issues in the country are concerns about the fairness of the elections. And it should be noted that that point is essentially about distrust of their fellow citizens, right? That one group is going to behave badly or steal the election or suppress votes or, you know, so even the thing that they agree on is rooted in distrust of each other. And then, you know, when we look at like what issues people say are important, Democrats, you know, rank most highly the pandemic that has now killed over 220,000 Americans and probably more. You know, I don't know if you saw the study out that there's more like 300,000 excess deaths this year compared to normal years, even though the official count's only about 220,000. But Democrats rank the pandemic, healthcare, foreign interference in elections, and racial inequality, all those issues that are nearly 7 in 10 or more. Democrats rank those as high. None of those issues do Republicans rank anywhere near a majority. In fact, the only two issues other than fairness of presidential elections that majorities of Republicans say are critical issues are crime and terrorism, things that don't appear anywhere on the high priority list of Democrats. So, you know, we've got this very bizarre thing, and particularly this number of the coronavirus pandemic. Both Republicans and white evangelicals, far less than a majority, say that this is a critical issue to them, despite the fact that, you know, we're seeing another surge, you know, in the virus. And again, we're looking at north of 220,000 deaths in the country.
What justifies saying that we're going in the right direction and the 50s are even better?
Yeah, well, you know, I think this is really about two things. The right direction comment, I think, is mostly about partisanship. We find this actually on, you know, that when a Democratic president is in office, Democrats are more likely to say things are going in the right direction. When Republicans are in office, we're more likely to say things are Republicans are more likely to say things are going in the right direction. But, you know, it is notable, again, with the pandemic raging, you know, people's lives, you know, kind of in disarray, that many, you know, continue to say things are going in the right direction. And then the 1950s question is something that we have asked for a number of years now. It's a huge divider between the two parties. You know, strong majorities of Republicans say things are going in the right, or wish say that American way of life and culture have changed for the worse since the 1950s, while Republicans say things have changed for the better. And you know, there's really no group that is kind of more strongly than this agrees that things have changed for the worse since the 1950s than white evangelical Protestants, that kind of strong base group inside the Republican Party.
Well, these groups, the Republicans and white evangelicals, are so dominant in our government and politics right now. It's their answers that grab my attention the most. So what else did you learn about Republicans and white evangelicals that's particularly significant?
Yeah, you know, well, it's kind of clear that, you know, it has been true since 2016 for sure, and maybe even before. But I think now it's just clear that that white evangelicals, you know, have clearly become so aligned with the Republican Party. I mean, they're the only group, even among other white Christian groups, for example, for whom Donald Trump's approval rating has not fallen. I mean, they're still, you know, more than 7 out of 10 approve of the job that Trump is doing as president, whereas other white Christian groups have kind of fallen away and are down around, you know, like evenly divided. But white evangelicals are more than 7 out of 10 approving. And you know, I think it's just so clear they're all in for the president, even on the vote choice this year. What's notable is that if we took a look at the snapshot in 2016, when we did our American Values survey and we looked at the voting choices of white evangelicals, about 7 in 10 at this stage of the, about, you know, about a few weeks out from the election in 2016, said that they were supporting President Trump. Now, eventually, 81% of them pulled the lever for Trump at the ballot box. But what's notable about this time is that they're already at 8 in 10, even in this survey. So they're 10 points up in supporting the president. So we could see his numbers go up into the 80s. You know, far past the kind of 81%. If the past, you know, pattern is it remains true, we see no drop off there at all. And that's in contrast, again, to white Catholics and white mainline Protestants. Interestingly enough, among those two groups, we actually see Biden up 10 points from where Hillary Clinton was at the same stage in the game. So no movement. If anything, white evangelical support is stronger for Trump, but among white mainline and white Catholics, which Trump also won quite strongly, and you know, 6 in 10 or more in those groups that he won. But this time Biden has the edge, and he's up about 10 points over where Hillary Clinton was. So I think, you know, just this contrast and this kind of daylight in the report, we called it a crack in the wall of Trump's white Christian support.
I was interested in the fact that you show some coming together across race lines in comparison with 2016. I'd be interested in mm-hmm. hearing more about that.
Well, you know, on the issue that has had us, you know, all, you know, just been at the front of so many of our minds this summer has been since the killing of George Floyd by police in Minnesota, is the issue of policing and police reform. So we've been asking about this since 2015. And our questions specifically ask about whether the killing of unarmed African-Americans by police are isolated incidents or whether they're part of a pattern of how police treat African-Americans. And, you know, in 2015, we asked this question. There was no daylight between any of the white Christian groups in the country. And in fact, a majority of the country said that these killings of African-Americans by police were just isolated incidents, that they weren't connected. So we had 53% of the country, but 7 in 10 white Christians of all kinds, white evangelical, mainline, and Protestant. Now, since that time, we have seen some movement in the country that has dropped now from 53% to 43%. So it's essentially flipped. There are now a majority of Americans who say these are not just isolated incidents, but are part of a pattern of how police treat African-Americans. And we have seen, again, this daylight appear between white evangelicals on the one hand. They have not moved at all, still 7 in 10 say they are isolated incidents. But white mainline Protestants and white Catholics have dropped by 12 to 13 points on this question. So they've moved along with the country in changing minds about this, whereas white evangelical Protestants have not. So there is more of an alignment. And particularly whites who are Democrats and whites who are have a 4-year college degree, those are the groups that have moved the most on this question.
The you mentioned the what the issues that the majority of Americans list as the most important, and as you said, the pandemic, election integrity, and healthcare. Talk about those, if you would, as in comparison with the issues that were important to only a minority of respondents, but that are the relentless focus of this administration?
Yeah, well, one of the key things that you're probably thinking about here is immigration appears nowhere on the list. And so, you know, if you could rewind the clock to 2016, I mean, that was the issue that was, that Trump led the Republican convention with. He kind of led his campaign on the issue of immigration and, you know, particularly building a wall. And we heard about that just relentlessly. And it's notable that that doesn't make the majority of either party saying that. Democrats have not moved on this. In 2016, only 37% of Democrats said this was a critical issue. Today, 36% say it's a critical issue. But notably among Republicans and among white evangelicals, it's dropped about 20 points. So about 6 in 10 said that this was a critical issue in 2016. And now they're right with Democrats, 38%. I think this is largely as a function of two things. I think it's a function of, the borders being shut down largely because of the pandemic and there not being a lot of immigration. But it's also been because the president hasn't been talking about it. And he's been talking much more about racial issues and particularly relations between black and white and kind of lashing out against the protests for racial justice over the summer. That has become the key talking point. But immigration has kind of fallen down. But it's worth noting that this has also resulted in the attitudes of Republicans improving slightly about how they think about immigrants, having more positive views than they did 4 years ago as President Trump has stopped, or has at least lowered the anti-immigrant rhetoric.
And Robbie, you have pointed out that the Republican concerns about issues are moving away, at least at the moment, from the party's bread and butter issues. Maybe I'm trying to think more positively than I should, but could this be a sign of coalescing around a charismatic leader to the degree that nothing else really matters, just the leader?
I think that's a very plausible, interpretation for, and you can see it in the data, but, you know, really the Republican Party itself gave us the most kind of concrete example of this by not putting together a party platform this year. I mean, it's really notable. It's the first time I think ever that the party has not said, these are the issues we stand for. These are the positions that we take. And instead, I mean, essentially just defaulted to saying we're behind this candidate and whatever this candidate says is the party's platform is what it is. I mean, partly I think they did that because Trump has tended to contradict any particular platform when it suits him. And so there was a risk factor in doing that. But still, I think basically just giving up and not even pretending to put a principled platform out there and just saying, yeah, we're behind this guy. Is remarkable, I think. And we see that, we see high numbers of Republicans and, again, evangelicals in the Republican base saying, for example, that things have gotten so bad, we need a strong leader who's willing to break some rules if that's what it takes to make things right. So a kind of authoritarianism, that we see support for that, much less support among Democrats for that statement. And I do think it has become really a kind of, one thing Trump has done is I think remade the party kind of in his image. And so being a Republican means supporting Trump.
What else did the 2020 American Value Survey reveal that got your attention?
Yeah. Well, I think the other two things to say is there is significant. We've talked a lot about the kind of parties and the religious groups. Two groups I would hold out that for different reasons, I think, have moved away from President Trump. And these are both groups that he won in 2016 are white women with a 4-year college degree and seniors. Yeah. So we have, for example, if you look at the pandemic, I think his handling of the pandemic and continually playing it down, even when he had information to the contrary, for example, I think has really hurt him. among seniors. We have, again, this group, he won handily in 2016, but today 61% of them disapprove of how he's handled the pandemic, and 68% of them believe the spread of the disease could have been controlled better with better actions. Up front, white college-educated women also agree with those sentiments, but among white college-educated women, you know, this is the group that's kind of overlaps heavily with what Trump has been alluding to as suburban women. But he's appealed to them on the basis of race. And really he's talked about protecting their neighborhoods from, you know, low income housing with this kind of barely veiled, it's not even veiled, it's very overtly racist, actually, language, of kind of low income housing being a threat really to the white suburbs. But you know, there's a real sense here that white college-educated women are not really buying that argument. In fact, his handling of the protest for racial justice and these overtly racist statements, I think, and his refusal, for example, to condemn white supremacist groups in the last presidential debate have really hurt him. So we have 7 in 10 white college-educated women who disapprove of how he's handled the protest for racial justice, and also 7 in 10 who think he is, who will just actually tell us on a survey that they believe the president of the United States, his actions and behavior have encouraged white supremacist groups.
What surprised you this year?
The thing, we didn't know where it would come out. We did a little embedded experiment in the survey around the protests. And what we were trying to figure out is how much of opposition to the protests that we've seen around the country is really about race, and how much does racial prejudice impact how people see the protests. And so what we did is we set up an experiment where we asked half of our survey sample a question, an agree-disagree statement, asked them to agree or disagree, and that statement read like this: it always makes our country better when Americans speak up and protest unfair treatment by the government. And then we asked the other half of the sample that was segregated from that or quarantined from that half, the same statement, but instead of Americans, we asked about Black Americans. So that statement read, it always makes our country better when Black Americans speak up and protest unfair treatment by the government. And, you know, so then the difference between those two statements really is only attributable to the word Black in the statement. So identifying the protesters as Black. And what we found is that in the country as a whole, support for the protest drops 9 percentage points, when you specify that the race of the protesters is Black. And among all whites, it, not surprisingly, it's a little bigger than that. Among all white Americans, it's 14 points spread. But as you look at kind of groups that are kind of more in the Republican base, the gaps get bigger. So among white evangelical Protestants, there's a 20-point drop-off. When Black Americans then support for protests, when protesters are identified as Black. Among Republicans overall, it's 25 points. And among the subgroup of Republicans that most trust Fox News, and we saw a huge media effect on this question, 37 point drop off when the protesters are identified as Black. And among Democrats, and I think this goes to what I was saying, white Democrats have really moved, I think, on these issues. There's no difference among Democrats. 7 in 10 say it makes the country better, or actually 71%. It's exactly 71% say it makes our country better when Americans speak up and protest unfair treatment by the government, and 71% say it makes our country better when Black Americans speak up and protest unfair treatment by the government. So I think that spread between no change among Democrats and a 25-point drop-off among Republicans, I think it is testimony to how much racial prejudice is animating the difference between the two political parties and animating Americans, particularly white Americans' views of just the lenses that they're bringing to understanding the protests.
Robbie, one last question. Over the years, you've highlighted the ways in which white evangelicals again and again were outliers in important ways in various surveys. This divergence is more evident than ever in our culture. I wonder if even greater differences than in past years is also evident when you look at the results of the survey.
I think that's right. I mean, we've seen this, you know, as an outlier. But I mean, on issue after issue, when we're writing up these reports, I mean, one common sentence construct you know, we have is something like this, like, with the exception of white evangelical Protestants, all religious Americans, and then fill in the blank, you know, and I think that you see that on question after question, whether it's immigration, whether it is marriage equality or LGBTQ rights, you know, this sense that that white evangelicals are really increasingly, I mean, I've kind of envisioned it like, you know, how, you know, we have these kind of tectonic plates that kind of move the world's geography around, and that white evangelicals are kind of, you know, this tectonic plate that is on this tectonic plate that's increasingly drifting out to sea, you know, from the views of other white, other white Americans, other Americans overall, even other white Christians, that there's just this increasing gulf that's showing up. And it's also happening as this group is shrinking and aging. And it's kind of one of the reasons why it's happening, is because this group is aging. They're not holding on to younger people. So they do represent in many ways the views of Americans, you know, 20, 30 years ago, rather than kind of keeping up with kind of where Americans are today. Just one quick example on that, you know, in this survey, we also saw 70% of Americans today support allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. That's the highest we've ever recorded. Even a majority of seniors overall support marriage equality today. But white evangelicals are still around just a little more than a third supporting it. And there's no other religious group that's anywhere near that. In fact, every other major religious group is in favor of including, you know, Catholics, both white and Latino, African-American Protestants, mainline Protestants, non-Christian religious groups, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, etc., all majority support for marriage equality. And it's just this one group that's really, you know, a good 20 points from all other religious Americans.
Goodness gracious. Robert P. Jones is the founding president of the Public Religion Research Institute, which has just issued the comprehensive 2020 Americans Values Survey. It's available online at prri.org. Dr. Jones is the author of two essential books, The End of White Christian America and White Too Long, The Legacy of White Supremacy in American Christianity. Robbie, as always, it's great to be with you, hear from you, and learn from you. And thank you for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton. Always great to be with you.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their mind.